Welcome to the Clubhouse with Shane Bacon. I am your host, Shane Bacon. And yes, this is a second podcast in the same week. So I hope you've added a gym session to your week or taken a walk for lunch this week and added a little bit more time to listen to it. Harold Varner III, coming off his first professional win down in Australia, a great final round 65, took some time in his jet-lagged, busy schedule following the win to chat with us about the win and about playing professional golf for a living and how much fun that is and how crazy it is to sometimes think. He talked to us about hitting that shot against Steph Curry at the Safeway when they were paired together for the Pro-Am. He talked about the buzz around the Tiger Woods return, even in Australia, while he was competing and trying to win. He said people were still really interested to see how Tiger did. So a great conversation with Harold Varner III, one of the bright young stars and really great personalities, young players in the game of golf. This week's podcast, this second podcast of the week, of course, is brought to you by Swing Juice. It is a great holiday gift idea. I keep telling you that, and I'm not lying. They have hoodies, they have t-shirts, they have holiday ideas on the t-shirts now. They even have three-quarter sleeve shirts that I've been really, really into. Swing Juice sent me a couple of those. I've been wearing them a lot. They're really, really comfortable and great for wintertime. Go to swingjuice.com. Use the offer code BACON. You'll save 20% at checkout. As I mentioned, a great holiday gift idea for the men and the women golfer in your life. Do it right now. A friendly reminder to you all, there is a Clubhouse newsletter now. It drops on Mondays. It drops on Wednesdays. It'll be in your inbox. Gives you great news, updates, videos, GIFs. And yes, I said GIFs, not GIFs. I'll never stop. You can't stop me from using that. All in your inbox. You sign up for the Clubhouse newsletter. Just go into my Twitter page, at Shane Bacon. It is the top tweet pinned atop my page. You can click on the link, throw your email in there, and boom, you will be signed up, and you'll get your golf news without having to scour the internet looking for it. That's enough from me. Let's get to Harold Varner III, coming off a great win in Australia. And we welcome into the clubhouse Harold Varner III, 26-year-old, notched the biggest win of his career on Sunday, taking home the Australian PGA Championships. Thanks to a final round 65, he became the first American since Hale Irwin back in 1978 to win one of the biggest events in Australia. And before we get to the victory, Harold, I ask every golfer that comes on this question to start, what have you had to eat today?
I had Bojangles this morning.
How was it?
Yeah, it was absolutely amazing. And I had sweet tea, so that was good.
That's a good start.
I'm gonna crush Firehouse Subs in a minute.
Yeah, well, you know, I was going to hold this question until a bit later, but you tweeted this out. I was going over kind of some of the tweets you've sent out. You've been traveling a lot. I would say this is a hot take. You said that Japan has the best French fries in the world. Now, I don't want to get off to the wrong foot here, but what are so great about Japanese French fries compared to what we've got over here?
Because they're cooked long enough. They're, like, crispy. They're not, like, soft and mushy. I mean, you can get some crispy ones, but it's just, like, hit or miss. You know, if you go to Wendy's when they're about to close, it's for sure going to be mushy. Like, you might as well just not get them.
Well, there you go. Well, I wanted to say,
in Japan, they're like, they are so crisp. All they need is some ranch, and it would be game over.
Yeah, you know, I lived in London abroad when I was in college. They didn't have ranch dressing over there either. I was so confused by it. It seems like a great dipping sauce for how often those people go with the French fries. But I did want to say congrats. You know, you came so close winning here a year ago. You were able to close it out. I was going to ask, first and foremost, where does that final round 65 rank in terms of the best final rounds you've ever played, not just as a professional, but really in your career?
I mean, it's got to be the lowest, so I would say the best. And then, you know, I haven't won on a circuit yet. I mean, I've won mini tour events. So it's, step in the right direction. It's a good way to end the year. And just has me really excited to play next year. Like, I wish it was next week.
Well, yeah, that's one of the issues with the wraparound and with some of these end-of-season events is you've got to take a decent amount of time off. I mean, how long until you play your next event?
I'll play the Sony, so I'll leave, I think, the 9th, if I'm correct. I'm not really sure. Yeah, but I'll be ready for the Sony.
Don't worry about that now. You just got to enjoy the food. Well, your back nine was pretty crazy. You had just two pars on the 16th and 18th. I read you had this mentality where you were thinking to yourself, I just want to birdie every hole. I mean, did you do that knowing that a golf course like Royal Pines is a place where, you know, the great players that are in that field, Adam Scott's and such, or able to make a run and maybe catch you or pass you if you weren't continuing to throw darts and make birdies?
It never really crossed my mind. I've been kind of close to the lead on the PGA Tour and then some other events, and I just find myself, you know, sometimes just worried about what someone else is doing instead of what Harold needs to do. And I think I was just prepared. Like, you know, I'd come close before, and I just knew if I just went out there and did Harold, that would be good enough.
And Harold, a pretty special moment for you, finding out you landed a spot at the Bridgestone Invitational in Akron where you grew up. How special was it for you to find out that news coming alongside with the win?
It was awesome. I knew ahead of time because that's what, you know, you got last year. And then, you know, I just knew going into it. But, you know, you just had to take care of business. And, I was born there. So it's just I'm super excited. I'm going to play, you know, obviously, hopefully in the PGA Championship, which is in Charlotte. I grew up in Gastonia. And then TPC, I lived in Jacksonville Beach for a couple of years. And to be, you know, playing those spots, I enjoy playing at home or close to where I've lived before.
Does it add more pressure when you know that it's a place that you're going to have a whole bunch of, you know, family and friends out watching you? Or does it almost make you want to rise more to the occasion?
I don't know about more pressure. I believe it's harder to play at home, but now I'm just over that, I guess, that phase. I think you just go play golf and you just can't really care what anyone else thinks. You know, they just want to see you do well. You know, that's all that matters. You just play golf. Like, if I play good golf, everything will take care of itself.
I mentioned you've been traveling a lot in the off season. Is there a particular place that you've loved traveling to or a particular place that you enjoy going every year or somewhere new that you haven't seen yet?
It was really cool to go to Malaysia. I've never been there. Japan was crazy how clean that place was. But Australia's been, you know, that place, it's summertime over there. It's, you know, everyone speaks the same language. So that's nice and really close to the beach, good places to eat. So I'm a big fan of that place. My teammate in college is from Canberra. And next year he's getting married December 17th. So hopefully that's what I expect to do is just play the PGA and then stay down there till his wedding.
Yeah, spend a little bit of time there. As you mentioned, a little cold here. Might as well spend some more time in Australia. You're 26.
A little cold? It's freezing.
It's cold here. I'm in Arizona. We're supposed to live in places that are warm, and it's been I've been wearing a jacket every day. Our heater went out. It's not a good thing. But you know what? You're 26. Your first full season was this past year on the PGA Tour. I mean, you played well. You had four top 10s. You had seven top 25s. I wonder, with this youth movement that we're kind of seeing in golf, is there added pressure to get that first international and worldwide win, considering guys like, you know, Justin Thomas and Smiley, you know, buddies of yours, are winning? Did you feel the pressure more than maybe that was around maybe 10 years ago when these guys that were 24 and 23 weren't winning at this kind of rate?
I didn't really follow golf that closely, I guess, 10 years ago. But I don't know about pressure. I just want to win. I mean, I don't want to win for Justin. I hope Justin doesn't want to win for me. I think it's really cool that, you know, that people are coming in and winning like that, because it's easy to just look at them and be like, hey, if they're winning, I can do it. You know, I play with them a good bit, and why not me?
Well, I've heard you have a fairly amazing nickname. Some of the guys around the tour call you the landlord. I wanted you to clue us in on where the landlord nickname came from.
So I have a lease in Jacksonville because I live there and I go down there some. And Kevin Price, who was interning with the Web.com Tour at the time, and he was living with somebody, and I had a guy leave, and I asked him, was he looking for a place to, you know, stay? And he was like, yeah, I am. I was like, dude, I got a room that just opened up, and now he lives with me. So I guess it's a big deal for the media guys for sure. Yeah. But I didn't really get it at the start. I was so confused. I was like, the landlord, like. But, yeah, you know, just trying to help somebody out when I can.
Well, and Kevin Price has become this, like, cult figure with Web.com guys. I mean, they have the Price Tracker on Twitter. It's really more fun for the players almost than maybe some of the media members to follow Kevin around and follow him along as he reports on the web.com.
Well, he's a good dude. I think it's really weird he's a Bills fan. I mean, it's not weird that's where he's from, but he's just, you know, you pull for people like that. if you can help them, you know, any way you do. And we just grown a little closer, and he needed a place to stay, and I could help him. So it's just, I would do it for anyone. It just happened to be Kevin, and he was, you know, moving on in his career. So it just kind of worked out. It's just, I guess everything happens for a reason.
For sure. While the event was going on in Australia, you're contending, you're trying to win. I mean, you're in the hunt the whole week. While that's all going on, there's this big Tiger Woods return at the Hero World Challenge. Tiger's coming back. It was a big hoopla. Everybody was kind of focused on it, you know, in the States. Were people talking about it or talking about the way he played it all over there? Are they more focused on the event, or was there a little bit of a buzz knowing that this was kind of a return of this guy that people have watched really, like, you know, growing up in their careers?
Yeah, there's a huge buzz. Tiger, he moves the needle. So, I didn't get to watch much of the golf, but I saw what he shot and then kept up with it a little bit on Twitter, how he's making a lot of birdies. And that's just, it's great to have him back, without a doubt.
Would he be somebody, you know, if you got a chance to pick, put a list together of players you would love to get paired with at some point on the PGA Tour, would he be pretty high on that list?
Oh, yeah. I mean, without a doubt. He's the best I've ever seen.
Well, you
so it'd be cool to see what he does.
Well, I mean, and it's crazy that he comes back. I mean, you know, you've taken time off of golf before, and I think that, you know, maybe people don't understand how hard it is to play tournament golf different than just going out and playing with your buddies. To go out there and do what he did, I think was really impressive. Almost, I feel like players almost had a better understanding and appreciation for what he's doing than maybe fans did, because it's so hard to get back in the ropes like that and play golf, you know, after spending a year and 4 months away from the game.
Yeah, it's just, you never know what someone's like battling. You know, obviously he didn't play Safeway. I think he's supposed to play in Turkey, so you don't know what it is, but you know that there's something there if he's not playing. You know, whether it's health, mental, it doesn't matter. If he's not playing, he's not 100%. So to see him be able to play, finish four rounds, look healthy, and, you know, and to make that those many birdies, obviously he probably didn't play the way he wanted to because he always wants to win. You know, like winning's, it's winning or nothing. But I'm sure he was super, super excited just to get those jitters. I think he had a really great interview after, I think maybe after the third round, where you could tell he just missed competing. Like, he's just such a competitor.
Well, you mentioned the Safeway. You had a cool experience. You got to play with Steph Curry in the Pro-Am at the Safeway, and you actually hit, I mean, what was it, like a half-court shot in front of Steph? What was that? First of all, I mean, you're a professional golfer. They throw you a basketball and you chuck it up with maybe the best shooter of all time standing next to you. Have you had a feeling like that, like in any sport, you know, when you hit that shot with that many people watching in front of somebody like Steph Curry?
No, not at all. I mean, that's just once in a lifetime type chance there. I can't believe he didn't make it before me, though, to be truthfully honest. We probably got like three shots or so, and then when mine went in, I was like, got him. You know, like, there's no way I could beat him on a real court. So it's just really funny to me, to be honest.
Well, how was Steph Curry's golf game? We've heard so many people talk about how he's a scratch player and he's got a ton of game. Were you impressed? Were you surprised? What was his golf game like?
I don't know if he's a scratch, but he hits it really nice, swings it really nice, putts it really well. He's better than what I thought he's going to be, but you can tell he's like, he just doesn't get to play that much.
You bomb it. Could he keep up with you off the tee at all?
No, but, you know, for someone who doesn't play golf, he hits it far. Hits it slightly, pretty straight, too, which was kind of, you know, I was surprised. I was really surprised.
Well, a buddy of mine, John McGinnis, always been singing your praises to me, really, even before you got out on the PGA Tour. He was an East Carolina Pirate. Do you ever get a chance to talk with John about, you know, coming out on the tour, you know, playing professional golf, getting any advice from him? Because he spent a lot of time, you know, as a journeyman out on the PGA Tour.
That's so funny. When we get together, we obviously don't – I feel like we don't talk much golf. It's either about ECU, what are you doing, like, or he's cracking some joke. You know how he is, or he's, you know, getting after it. So it's just I enjoy being around John when I get the chance, because I feel like every time I'm around him, you know, we're both letting loose.
Yeah, he's always a good time. He's hard to have a bad time with. That's what I always say about Mr. McGinnis. I was texting with him earlier, and he said he's going to play in some event. He was like, my whole goal is to finish in last place. I thought that was a great thing to peg on the board, you know, when you're hoping not even beat a single team. But what was it like when you returned? I mean, you're in Australia, you win this event. What was it like to get back? I mean, did you get a whole bunch of text messages from guys on tour? Did you get a lot of messages from the guys? Because I saw a whole bunch on Twitter from some of, I'd say, you know, guys around your age that were excited to see you, you know, get in the winner's circle.
Yeah, it was, I didn't get to read them all because it's just so much, but just a few, you know, just, it was pretty cool. I really didn't think much of it. And then it just took so long to get home. I was just ready to just lay in my bed. And all I wanted was a Christmas tree Debbie cake.
Did you get it?
I had like a whole box.
Nice.
Yeah, I had a box that I had before I left, and it was incredible.
Well, you're coming off a win.
Like, have you ever had one?
Yeah, I've had one. I mean, I haven't had one in a while.
Oh, my gosh. Dude, they're the most incredible, like, piece of cake ever. Like, I can't believe they don't sell those year-round, like the Christmas tree ones.
This is going to be your new thing. You need to go buy, like, 10 boxes of them around holiday time, and every time you win, you knock out a box.
Oh, I can't knock out a whole box, dude. I'll be sick.
Yeah, that's okay, though. This is part of winning.
No. Sick is not. No, the only sickness I want to have after winning is probably being hungover. That's it.
What was your drink of choice for the celebration?
I went with Peroni and Red Bull Vodkas.
Yeah, there you go. Some keep you up a little bit.
I had to wake up so early. Yeah, you know, just get ready for that 12-hour flight.
Well, you're coming off this win. You've already said the Sony is your next event. You're ramping up. I hear a lot of players say they lay out goals. You know, they have a sheet of things they want to do for the next year. Is that something you do, or are you just? I mean, it seems like your mentality is I want to go out there and win. Is it just going out there and pegging it and just trying to shoot your lowest score every week?
I mean, the goal is to win, but to win, you have to something not every day, but you have to know where your weakness is, and you got to turn that into like, it doesn't have to be a strength, but it has to, you know, it's got to get better or you're not going to have a chance to win. So goals, I mean, I just want to play better than I did last year. I think that's because I'm wiser, I've seen the courses, so everything's in my favor to play better. Why can I not now?
I would say that you look like, when I watch you play golf, you look like you have more fun than most guys out on tour have when they're playing golf. Are you having that much fun internally? I mean, because it does seem like you're having a really good time playing almost every round.
Yeah, I'm having a lot of fun. I mean, dude, I play golf for a living. Let's just, I mean, just think about that. Like, what can go wrong? Like, I don't have to, I mean, yeah, playing bad just is not fun at all. It's like people watching you hit it sideways. It's almost embarrassing, but you know, you just don't, you want to play so well, but at the end of the day, dude, it's golf. You know, you're going to have your good days, you're going to have your bad days, but I don't have to go to a job. I get to see the world and I get paid to do it. How about that?
You get little Debbie cakes whenever you want. I mean, this is really a win-win-win if you think about it.
Yeah, I know. I used to be like one box per season. Now I'm like one box per week.
All right, I'll hit you on some quick hitters. I know you got to run in a minute. Funniest guy on tour.
Funniest. Steven Bogart is pretty funny.
God, he's had a lot of fun with people this year. I mean, he hasn't had a great year, but he's giving it,
dude,
back. I love
have
it.
Have you seen his Twitter? Oh my gosh, it's I think he's pretty funny.
Yeah.
I mean, I think a lot of guys are really sarcastic, and I like that type of humor, so it's pretty pretty good. There's some funny guys. They're just funny in different ways. Danny Lee's funny, but he's just so weird. He's funny. Like, gosh, he's really funny. That's a great question. I've never been asked that. Those are two that just came to mind.
Is there, you could pick a celebrity to get paired with, number one on your list to get paired with at the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am. Who are you going with?
I mean, I think it'd be pretty cool to play with MJ. I've never played with him. Just want to see greatness.
Plus, you'd be the best. You'd be the best dressed of that group by far, right away. It wouldn't even be a question.
That'd be funny. Oh man, that's just maybe Cam Newton.
That'd be fun.
Cam Newton fan. I know we're having a
speaking of dressing well, we'll talk about Cam Newton. All right, place you'd live if you didn't live in Florida.
I'd live in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Best young player that nobody's ever heard of.
Well, you've heard of him now. He won 3 times on the web.com. Wesley's Ryan's really good. I mean, I've known him for a long time. Best player you never heard of. Mackenzie Hughes is really good, but he won.
Mackenzie Hughes? I mean, that's a good one.
I think they're all good, you know? It's just how they handle it and how, you know, it's a long year. Like, I'm trying to think. I've heard good things about J.J. Spawn, but I've never played with him.
So look out for him. All right, last one. Song you'd hit repeat on right now the most on your iPhone. The song you listen to the most on that 12-hour flight.
I didn't listen to a song at all, but if that was to happen, it would be The Weeknd Starboy right now.
You're into it.
Yeah, you know, I mean, the album's really good. There's some other good ones on there.
All right, the final question, I asked this out question just like the intro question. Who's the most famous person you've ever asked for their autograph? And this can go back to when you were a kiddo, when you were young, and you were, you know, looking up to athletes that maybe are retired now.
Tiger Woods, but I didn't get it.
He said no.
He didn't say no. You just know how it is, man. It's Tiger Woods. Like, I just held my hat out there and hope he grabbed it. Yeah, it was at the Wachovia, and it just didn't pan out. I'll never forget that. I was so butt hurt.
you got to bring a hat. You got to bring a hat if you see him at the next event and say, "Tiger, man, you owe me."
No, that's weird because now we're competing. I don't want any autograph from anyone I'm competing. That's just me.
Yeah, maybe if you beat him and he signs a card, that'll be your autograph. Harold, I appreciate the time, man.
Yeah,
hey, it was great. Good luck in 2017. Congrats again on the win. It was a short time coming, but I know you were excited to get it done.
Without a doubt. Thank you.
Well, that'll do it for this week on the Clubhouse. Many thanks to our listeners and subscribers, and many thanks to Swing Juice, our sponsor, continuing to sponsor this podcast, a great t-shirt company that makes great t-shirts and hoodies and three-quarter sleeves and koozies and everything you need to look cool and remind people that you love the game of golf. I mentioned a John Daly shirt weeks ago. They had pulled the John Daly shirt. Guess what? It is back up. Go to swingjuice.com. You can purchase that right now. Use the offer code BACON. You'll save 20%. Many thanks to Harold Varner III. You know, he's a busy guy, and he took some time to chat with us. A great win in Australia, kind of bookend 65s, does that for you. And excited to see what happens in 2017 for Harold Varner III. A reminder, there's a Clubhouse newsletter. Sign up for that. It's on my Twitter page, at Shane Bacon. Follow us at the Clubhouse, at the Clubhouse Pod on Twitter. If you have an email, comment, question, anything, you can email us at theclubhousewithshanebacon@gmail.com. Yes, that is the most characters you've ever heard for an email address, and I apologize, but that's what it is. And make sure you set your DVRs. 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. on Saturday, 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. Eastern on Saturday, on Fox, we'll be broadcasting the Franklin Templeton final round two-person event. A lot of fun. Players have a great time with it. We'll be there. We'll be broadcasting it. It is a fun event, so make sure you set your DVRs. You'll see my face. You'll actually see my face on your TVs. That's what happens. Thanks to Harold Varner III. Thanks to Swing Juice. Check out that newsletter, and we'll be back next week. Have some fun. Get out and play a little golf. Make some birdies. Good luck, guys.